The Saints in Light is who we have been celebrating really since Monday evening when we came together to celebrate in the Divine Liturgy, Vespers, Divine Liturgy Mass, the Feast of All Saints. That's in within the Western Rite of Holy Orthodoxy is established as a day of holy obligation. So it's a very important feast. And I was sent out an email to you this past week, and you hopefully had a chance to read it and understanding something about why it is that the church has set this as a very important feast, at least within the West. And today, in concluding the 8 days of that celebration, today being the patriarchs and prophets of the old law, stands as the other bookend to this celebration. Now, while the Eastern Rite disperses its Old Testament prophets throughout the liturgical calendar at various times of the year, within the Western Rite, in the wisdom of the church, at least in the West, they had bookended this glorious feast for us to commemorate those saints of old, that is, the saints of the Old Covenant. We don't always remember or think about the church of the Old Covenant, but God, in fact, had established the church and the Old Covenant, and therefore he had raised up saints. Now, we know that those saints were not fully released from their time in Sheol and in the place of the dead until the resurrection, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. But nonetheless, the church, in the same way that it acknowledges the sainthood of its apostles and its holy men and women, the patriarchs of old and the prophets played a very important role. And we know that, in fact, that canonically speaking, the Bible, Scripture, gives us more information about their lives than what we know about many of the saints since then, except for perhaps the apostles. God established his covenant through the patriarchs and establishing a means of salvation, not only for a nation, not only for a family or a nation, but for the whole world. And if you remember going back to the covenant with Abraham, God had established his promises with Abraham and his descendants after him, that they should be priests to the nations. So salvation was not intended just for Abraham and his family, but that they might take the covenantal truth and bring it to all the world. So that promise passed from Abraham to his son Isaac and to Jacob, for whom he would call Israel, and calling a whole nation to into covenantal relationship, into a relationship of redemption. These holy men stand as cornerstones and as bulwarks for an old covenant church, which would point to and be an archetype for what we would realize in the glorious establishment of the church, the new Israel, in Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone, the living stone, and those and the apostles and the saints of the new covenant being called together to be those living stones building the church. But these saints of the patriarchs, the prophets who were then raised up to call a sinful people back to covenant, back to the promises of Christ through God and his law, were raised up as a part of that sainthood. And we remember, for instance, the prophet Isaiah who declared in Isaiah 9, verse 2, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." So there was this calling back the people out of darkness into light. In fact, Scripture refers to the saints as those, the saints in light. The saints in light. The saints, that is, the saints who have joined themselves to the divine light of God. Those who have been fully illumined in their entire being. Those who radiate the glory and the grace, the very energies, sanctifying and healing energies of God, the saints in light. And we know that there was a period of 4 centuries in which God did not speak a word. During the period of captivity, when Israel had hardened their hearts and Judah had hardened their hearts, and it wasn't until they were allowed to return to the promised land that God began to lay the foundation for what he would do in Christ. And we recite the canticle of Zacharias at the birth of our patron, St. John the Baptist, who really stands as the last of the old covenant prophets and yet straddles into the new covenant. So he's a very important, not only prophet, but a very important saint. And I want to remind you in the Benedictus, the canticle Zacharias that we chant at every matins from Luke 1, verse 79, "To give light to those that sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And then also from the canticle of St. Simeon, or the Nunc Dimittis as it's known in Latin, that we chant at every Vespers from Luke 2, verse 32. St. Simeon, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, says, referring to Christ, "A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles," or "a light to lighten the Gentiles and to be the glory of thy people Israel." The people Israel are those who have been called into the light of Christ. This feast of All Saints, bounded or ending today with the feast of the patriarchs and the prophets of the old law, occur at a very significant time of the year. And I was talking to a few of you last week at our potluck dinner. It occurs at a time when the pagans would celebrate what was known as Samhain, the midpoint between the summer equinox and the winter solstice. This date of November the 1st was seen by the pagans, called Samhain, as the time of year when the light was waning, that the veil between this life and the next was at its thinnest. And they often believed that they could have then communion and fellowship with their dead ancestors. But the church, in her wisdom, baptized this celebration. And recognizing that as we are moving from periods of long daylight toward the winter solstice, at the winter solstice, celebrating the coming of light in Christ in the Nativity, We acknowledge the communion that we have with these saints. We acknowledge that in the midst of this waning darkness of the world, that the light is coming. We just switched back to Eastern Daylight Time last night. Daylight Savings Time is no more. We will really begin to notice that beginning tonight, when it starts getting dark very early. But you know the wondrous thing in God establishing creation, the celestial bodies, the sun, the moon, and the stars, which from antiquity, from the very beginning, people have used, God has created, in fact, to set time and seasons and years to mark those things. But unlike the pagans who saw those celestial bodies and the movement of time in a manner that was outside of God's revelation, there has always been an association with those particular celestial bodies, a correspondence with those, with the saints in light, that is, those who reside in the divine council of God. When we look up at this moon and the stars, we should not only be reminded of, but appropriate the reality that we have communion in Christ with those saints of old, with the patriarchs and the prophets of the old covenant, yes, with all the saints that have been canonized by the church since then. At the coming of St. John the Baptist, we read in the opening verses of the prologue to St. John, which we read at the end of every Mass, in John chapter 1, I wanted to remind you what just a few of those verses said. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God, his name was John. This man came for witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was a true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the sons of God, to those who believe on his name. Some translations change the word sons of God to children, but that's not, in the original language, that's not correct. Son is used in this term in a non-gender way because it's always the son to which an inheritance passes. So we, in that sense, are all sons of God in coming into the light of Christ and being joined by grace to his glorious body. I want to remind you just of a few other verses from John chapter 3. This is in Jesus meeting Nicodemus at night. And he says, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, and that they have been done in God. This is what our Lord is teaching in this morning's gospel lesson, in the Sermon on the Mount, when he says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but put it on a lampstand, and it gives light to all those who are in the house. We're a city on a hill. We're a light to the whole house. It's not a light unto ourselves. But Jesus said, let your good works be seen, so that those may give glory to God. Let your light be so seen, and let your good works be seen. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. In John 12, 36, Jesus said, while you have light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. There it is again, sons of light. Inheritors of what the saints in light have taken reward of. 2 Corinthians, from St. Paul's epistle to the 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts and give the light of the very knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who became flesh, who became real, who became visible to the world, is the icon, the image of none other than God himself, God the Father, and radiating the glory of God to the world, a glory by which we are able, as sons of God, are able to appropriate, to apprehend, and we, such that we ourselves radiate that divine glory, that energy of God. From Ephesians 5, verse 8, "For you were once in darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." And then Philippians 2, verse 15, "That you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." There we are, shining as saints in light. From Colossians 1, verse 12, "Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." We are qualified in Christ to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, to enjoy and to know that we will, by the grace of God, join in that company, that glorious company, and looking up at the stars and the moon and the sun, knowing that we will take our place within the divine counsel of God. And finally, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." We have fellowship with one another as we walk in the light, as we join the saints in imitation of their lives, as we ask for their prayers and intercessions on our behalf, as we continue to struggle with our own darkness, our own passions, our own sins. We are joined to that same light. And it's perhaps the strongest passage from Scripture that really is a proof text for the communion of saints. It says we have fellowship with one another. Not just for those that we see here on Sunday mornings, but we have fellowship with all the saints, the patriarchs, the prophets of old, the saints, the almost innumerable saints that have entered that divine counsel of God since our Lord took his place in heaven following his ascension. It is a glorious thing to know. And yet many of us have barely begun to know our family. Probably some of you have experienced going off, I know, as me as a kid, either with my dad or my mom down to Southern Virginia, going off to family reunions and meeting aunts and uncles and cousins you'd never met before, and going, who's that person? Who's that person? Or I remember going out to Ohio shortly after we got married. Eric was just an infant, and meeting much of Pam's extended family out in Ohio. And in doing that, I feel that I know my wife better, because I've gotten to meet and to know her extended family. We learn who we are by knowing our family. And it's no different in the family of God. We have these saints who are praying powerfully, interceding for us. Let us look to them to pray and to intercede for our own salvation, that we may take our inheritance with the saints in light. I wanted to close just by mentioning that last Saturday, Pam and I had been invited to go over to St. Mary Orthodox Church, where Dan and Colleen have been been attending and for our grandson Simon's baptism. And John Malloy was asked to be the godfather. And so that was a rescheduled baptism from October 2nd. And my mom had been telling me, she said, "I really think that you should be the one to baptize Simon." In fact, I had baptized all the other previous grandchildren. But understanding the situation and understanding that's where Dan and Colleen were, I was resolved, and I was okay with the fact that we could just be there for the baptism. And Mom kept insisting that she was going to be praying that I be the one to baptize Simon. And so on the night before, Father David called me and asked me if I would like to participate in the baptism. And I said, "It's your parish, you let me know." And he said, "I'd like you to help out. So why don't you come over, be here about a half hour early." As I got over there ahead of the baptism last Saturday, Father David started going through the baptismal service, and he said, "You know, we'll kind of break things up." He said, "We have baptism, we have the chrismation." He said, "How about if I chrismate and you baptize?" So in answer to my mom's prayers, very unexpectedly, I was able to baptize our grandson. And I share that with you because if the heart of a mother who has not achieved perfection has that kind of effect with the hand of God and His providence, think of the glorious things that can happen as we ask the saints to intercede on our behalf, to bring us to a place of holiness and sanctification and salvation, to take our place in the inheritance of the saints in light. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.